When Barack Obama signed the stimulus plan, he vowed it would help keep people in their homes.
We must stem the spread of foreclosures and falling home values for all Americans and do everything we can to help responsible homeowners stay in their homes.
But it turns out the banks aren't doing everything they can, and the administration may have to shame lenders into doing the right thing.
It's not too cool to be ridiculed, but you brought this up on yourself.
Less than 2,000 people out of 500,000 have gotten permanent loan modifications. The White House says lenders should be embarrassed. Is there a fundamental problem with the White House plan, though? Or are mortgage companies fiddling while Rome burns? Maybe they just make more money by doing nothing. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Monday, November 30th. I'm Celeste Headlee here with John Hockenberry. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Celeste. Isn't Rome a suburb of Detroit?
Hey!
Good morning, Celeste. Also on the program, counting U.S. troops in Afghanistan and dollars in Dubai. This week's agenda is on pins and needles. Also, the trouble with Tiger Woods. He's definitely off the fairway this morning and saying, I love you without financing civil war somewhere in the world. The challenge of finding conflict-free diamonds.
But first, Julie Gonzalez joins us. Julie is a Takeaway listener from Royal Oak, Michigan. Last March, she called in to tell us she was having trouble meeting her mortgage payments and she'd applied for a loan modification. So, Julie, yes or no, did you get your loan modification?
No, I did not.
Okay, so why not?
The final answer that I received... Well, actually, it was a difficult situation. It was my mother and I. But the final answer that we received from the bank was that we had too much equity in her house.
Oh, okay.
Which didn't really make sense to me.
Your mother had too much money.
Yeah, basically.
To apply. Okay. Julie Gonzalez, yeah. Stay with us. We're going to get a little more details about that because I'm sure there are more. We'll be back with you in a moment. But first, everything else that you need to know this morning.
Final answer. It sounds like who doesn't want to be a millionaire?
Exactly.
We'll find out more about that. The battle begins today in the Senate to overhaul the nation's health care. So far, the 60 votes the Democrats need don't appear to be there. And one flashpoint is the so-called public option. Independent Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont weighed in on ABC this week.
If you don't have that public option, I think you're not going to have the cost containment we need. I would be very reluctant to support legislation that did not have a strong public option.
Democrats hope to pass a bill before Christmas, but senators from both sides intend to offer difficult amendments, so there will be a lot of debate and horse trading. President Obama will announce his new strategy for the war in Afghanistan tomorrow night. It's expected the president will deploy roughly 30,000 more troops, and we'll also talk about the U.S. exit strategy. Senator Carl Levin was asked by CBS News what constitutes victory in Afghanistan.
Greater security for the United States, but it's the Afghans that have got to succeed, and we've got to help them succeed.
Meanwhile, the White House says Iran is isolating itself after it announced it would build 10 new uranium enrichment plants. Iran is refusing to comply with the United Nations nuclear agency.
Here at home, shots have been fired at a Seattle house where a man sought in the coffee shop slayings of four police officers may be holed up. The suspect's an Arkansas man with a history of violence toward the police. He was released from prison in Arkansas after then-Governor Mike Huckabee commuted his lengthy sentence. And there were more shoppers out this holiday weekend. They spent less than they did last year, though. According to the National Retail Association, almost 200 million Americans hit the malls this weekend, spending an average of $372 a piece. The Dow's going to look to rebound this when it opens at 10,309 today, and the S&P is going to open just under 1,100, the NASDAQ at 2,138. So we're going to hear a lot more about trying to keep your home in tough economics times, and we definitely want to hear your story as well. What lengths have you gone to keep a roof over your head? I myself have had to make some life changes in order to keep the roof over my head. What have you done? Drastically cut your budget? Moved? Refinanced? Taken a second job? Give us a call at 8778-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
good morning. $75 billion administration program from President Obama that was intended, it was part of the stimulus plan that was intended to help mortgage holders, homeowners, stay in their homes and stop the tide of foreclosures. That's according to the U.S. Treasury Department. That's what they say was the intent of the plan. That hasn't happened. The Treasury Department has announced that less than 2,000 people out of 500,000 have actually gotten permanent loan modifications. Less than 2,000. So they're going to start appointing people to monitor the actions of mortgage holders and see if they're doing what they were expected to do. We're rejoined now by Julie Gonzalez, a Michigan listener who applied twice for loan remodification, once for yourself and once for your mother as well, right?
Right.
And
right.
And you didn't get them because you had too much money.
My mother, that's the reason that they gave her, that she had too much equity in her home and too much in her savings account.
Okay, and what was the problem? What was the reason you did not get your loan modification?
I never got an answer. I never got an answer. I'm assuming that it was a credit imperfection because one of the stipulations of this, you had to have really good credit. You had to have
but
a good
not too
job.
Much money. We're joined now by Louise Story, New York Times finance reporter. Good morning, Louise.
Morning.
Okay, so you heard what Julie's just saying.
Yes.
In one case, she was turned down because they had too much money. The other one, probably because there were problems with her credit. So let's return to the details of this plan. I mean, because it sounds to me like these were the kind of people that should have been helped.
Right. You can't win in this program.
Right.
It was supposed to help 3 to 4 million people avoid foreclosure. And, you know, what we're seeing now, new figures are going to come out this week. It might be in the tens of thousands who have gotten
these.
If that. But here's how it worked. They would look at your income and they would try to give you a monthly payment that was actually affordable based on your income now. Remember, a lot of people have seen their income go down. People have had salary cuts. People have lost their jobs, gotten new jobs with lower wages. So they were going to try to give you a lower amount of debt.
By reducing the interest rate, not the principal.
So they were focused on the interest rate. There is a way to reduce principal under this plan. However, the plan does not promote that heavily, and most banks do not want to do that because if they reduce principal, they'd have to take down a write-down these loans, which, of course, would hurt them in their earnings. So,
of course, if it forecloses, they have to take a write-down anyway, right?
It could be. It depends how the sale goes.
Right.
But the focus is on reducing interest, which only does so much. The other focus is on getting people into standard mortgages. Remember, a lot of people
had 30-year fixed.
30-year fixed, backed by Fannie. You know, a lot of people had these exotic ARM loans where the rates would go up after a few years. So they were trying to get people into plain vanilla mortgages. But the program did not anticipate a lot of the problems that would happen this year, such as more people losing their jobs, and you're required to have an income to get one of these modifications. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people haven't even been able to get into the trial part of this program.
Okay, so Julie, let me ask you, through this program, if they had adjusted both your interest rate and your mom's interest rate, would that have helped you?
That would have helped us a lot.
Okay,
that would have helped us a lot. It would have... I'm behind on my taxes right now. It would have allowed me to just, you know, be paying the same amount or a lesser amount, and I'd be current on my taxes, which would be great for me. As a small business owner, I'd lost that much income. So.
Okay, so Louise, many people say this is, as you said, doesn't help because it doesn't reduce the principal, but in Julie's case, it would have helped. So explain to me, why would mortgage companies not be doing this? I mean, they're going to lose money if the house forecloses, right? Is there not a natural incentive to try to keep people in their homes?
So the interesting twist on this is the parties who are handling it are the mortgage servicers. Those are an intermediary. They interact with the borrower, but they often do not own the loan. Okay.
Right.
So the administration's working with these servicers. And actually, servicers can make more money off of your mortgage if it's in delinquency for a long time. They get to jack up the fees, and actually the amount of money that they can make from the administration's paying servicers to do this.
Yeah.
Sometimes pales in comparison to
the
amount.
They're like $1,000.
They can get $1,000 a year for up to 4 years. And, you know, $1,000 a year, $4,000 potentially, is peanuts when you have a really big loan. And so for the servicers, they can actually make more money over a longer period. The other thing that's in this test that people don't look at is there's a net present value test. And I think it sounds like this may have affected Julie in Michigan, where they have to evaluate whether they can make more money by modifying your loan or by pushing it into foreclosure. And I haven't seen the details of her loan, but if they told her she had too much equity in the house, it could be that they could make more by foreclosing on her house because there's so much equity there, they would get to take over. So because she's paid off so much of her loan and been a quote-unquote good borrower, she may have been put in this situation.
Julie, are either you or your mother in danger of losing your home?
I'm closer than she is, but I just, you know, cut back everything and make it happen and make the payment and then don't make other payments. So, I mean, I'm trying to hold on to my house for whatever, you know, whichever way I can. So I guess, you know, I guess if it got any worse than this, then, yeah, I would be in danger of losing my home. And if I don't pay my back taxes in time as well.
Louise, I mean, you can hear the pain in Julie's voice there. And I think that's the kind of, it sounds like the White House is hoping to use stories like Julie's to, as they call, embarrass these lenders into doing what's right. What does this mean when the Treasury Department talks about shaming the lenders? What does that mean?
Well, the problem is that talk sometimes does not go as far as action. And if the White House does this, you know, maybe they'll shame some lenders, but it could be that this program is not designed in a way that will really help people like Julie. And it is. It is really
horrible.
Seems
like it's not serious. I mean, you can't just shame people. I mean, how does the federal government get banks to lend? That's the fundamental question. Yeah. They haven't even addressed it.
They haven't addressed it. And the banks are in a tough spot, of course, because they're still hobbling along. Only a year ago, we bailed them out. And if you have them take too many losses, they could be in trouble again. And also at risk here is the entire housing market, because a lot of economists say if you don't keep the rate of foreclosures steady, the housing market won't recover. And since March, we've had 1.5 million new loans go into delinquency, which is way outpacing any little few thousand modifications we've got here. So we've got a really growing problem for more people than just Julie.
Okay, so Julie Gonzalez from Michigan, in just the last few seconds, can you tell us how long do you have? Do you have 6 months for the White House to redo this program?
I'll definitely try it again. But my mother already went ahead and she just paid for a regular refinance, and just to lower her rate 1 point from 6 to 5. So, you know, that's helping her out a tiny bit. But I guess I would try it again, but I just don't know that it's going to happen, because the other problem is that, you know, you owe as much as you, or I mean, your house isn't worth enough.
Yeah, you're upside down.
On what you owe, which is another problem with this program.
Okay. Julie Gonzalez is one of our listeners from Royal Oaks, Michigan, struggling with her loan there. And thanks to Louise Story, New York Times finance reporter. It is 15 minutes past the hour. We're going to check in on the headlines.
The U.S. Senate is going to start debating that health care bill today. The Democratic leadership is keen to pass it before the end of the year, but 60 votes are required to stop debate. The Associated Press says there have been gunshots outside a house in Washington State. Police are surrounding the house in Seattle. They're searching for a man considered to be a suspect in the shooting deaths of 4 police officers on Sunday in a Tacoma coffee shop. Ed Troyer is a spokesman for the Pierce County Sheriff's Department.
We know that he's also armed, and everybody else should be aware of that. And we know that he's probably very dangerous.
And again, this is a developing story. We'll bring you more as we have the information.
There have been sharp falls in share prices in the Dubai and Abu Dhabi stock markets on the first day of trading there, since Dubai announced it was seeking a delay in repayments on nearly $60 billion in debts. And online retailers are looking to Cyber Monday with a big weekend sales boost already under their belts. Early numbers suggest that post-Thanksgiving buying was higher than last year in both stores and online.
So coming up, it's the season for love and giving, but how do you say I love you with a guilt-free, conflict-free diamond? It's harder than you think. We'll talk in a few moments. You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.